It was on a group.
Okay. So we're doing Daf Hem and Aleph. I guess we want to do this Tosos Hani Mili. Okay. So we continue. So we want to do this Tosos Hani Mili. Okay. Hani Mili. So basically, we said the main idea, Rava's idea, is that when a Torah selected an objective makom hanacha, an objective makom whereby an object on it is defined as having a din makom, it didn't just make recourse to the universal din makom called tarakula, which is dalet al dalet, but it, so to speak, carved out an appropriate makom hanacha for the property of giving an object a din makom. Okay, and namely, it chose makomos which have that property of a certain type of kviyas. Like as Ram describes, is that there's two ways an object, makom, could give an object a certain kviyas, either by the size, the quantity of the makom, dalet al dalet, or by the quality of the makom, which is in a hand. And since a hand is a universally recognized holder of object, objectively, and it's well designed so that man normally holds things with it, so therefore in being koveya, the objective makomos, the objective holders, a hand is also included. Okay, hand is also included.
Is that because this is the malacha?
That's what I'm saying, is that in order of giving the object a din makom, the Torah is trying, that's what the malacha is really about, giving the object a din makom. Now that could come about subjectively through machshava,
right.
Or it could come out objectively, and what objectively means that the Torah is kovei a certain makomos which give it a din makom independent of machshava. And in doing so, it shows makomos which really are kovei the object. And those objects, the hand is such an object, such a location. The hand is such a location because of the properties of the hand. Because the hand functions in that way, it grips things, and man uses hands in that way. Hands hold things. The idea we're saying is, just back to this is the main idea, I guess, in this whole, it's been dealing on for months, but the idea is that the relationship of when you have an object on a makom, There's place and there's like a din makom. Place is where the object is. Everything has place. Place is an accidental thing. Things moving around, place, it's always in a place. But makom is where the object and its makom have an essential relationship. Now, what does that mean? Like, if I put something, one item next to another item, it doesn't give them an essential relationship. That's still accidental. They're very clear, close to each other. Even if there's in a permanent way, but it doesn't mean it's a makom. It's just, there's no relationship. But if something is on, at rest, on a holder, you have a holder, which is a significant size or has a grip, and then you have the object at rest on that holder, so there's a functional relationship, a mutual type of relationship between the two. The holder is holding it, and it is at rest because of the holder. So now there's a din makom, because there's an essential relationship between the two. That is its makom. But that's only if there's the relationship partakes of some sort of a kiyum. You put something on a 2x2 table, it's going to fall off in a second, so that's just as accidental as any other relationship. The fact that it's resting on it, it's not real rest. But when you put it in a hand, it is a real rest. Now, it's true that it could be changed, it will be changed, and the rest will be broken through an action of will in a few minutes, but that's a different idea. That's extraneous. The relationship is still a real relationship, and therefore it's a din makom. So this is basically so that's Rava's idea. Now the thing is this, and Rav Yochanan echoes Rava's idea. Okay, he says the same thing. That yodah shalom chashuv lo klat dalet al dalet. Fine, simple as that. But now Rav Yochanan has another statement that if I throw something to a person and it lands on his hand, you're chayev. Okay, his hand is like dalet. So what's teaching? It must be his hand is like dalet. Right? That's what's teaching. His hand is like dalet. He says, yeah, but Rabbi Yochanan already said that. He said openly, hand is dalet. So who needs to teach me a case? If you throw it to a guy, his hand is dalet. We already know that. So he says, my answer is no. I would think that your hand is like dalet when it's achshavei, where you specifically won't choose to have your hand function as a holder. But if it just happens to land in your hand, then your hand is not dalet, and it's not, you're not going to be chayiv. Kamash Malan, your hand is intrinsically dalet. So it's always dalet. So the Havmina's idea would be is that Rava is not saying that a hand is, like, so Rava recognizes that a hand could function as a holder, right, and has that capacity, but a hand also could just be a person could just be limp, or a person doesn't have to use it as a holder. So it has two, it could have two natures. So what Rava's saying is that your hand could be considered to him, insofar as he activates that capacity, it could have a din of a holder and have a din makom. But if he doesn't activate it, then it just goes its dimensions, or less than all knowledge, so it's not a holder. Right. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan's second memoir is teaching you, that no, he's not saying that it has two capacities or two qualities. The hand is objectively a din dalal nalad, bury it. There's no option. So Tosafot's problem is fine. So therefore you need, so that's why you need the second case. The second case teaches you that it's not only, Yad isn't only Kedal al-Dalit when you intend it, but even if it just happens to land on your hand, it's Kedal al-Dalit. Because the hand is objectively Dal al-Dalit, that's it. So Tosafot, he says, oh, so why not just have the second case? Okay, just have the case where it lands on the guy's hand. Well, you have to have two statements. One statement is, Yad Achshuv al-Kedal al-Dalit, which could be interpreted as only when achshavei, just tell me the statement, if you throw it onto a guy's hand, it's kedal dalet, and you'll realize that it has nothing to do with achshavei, but it's all automatically, it's kedal dalet. Right, that's the problem. You don't need two statements. You just need the second statement. Tosafot is just going on the logic of the Gemara. The Gemara is asking, is what he wants. You have this first case, of yadosh al kedal dalet, what do you need the case of zarak? So he says, the Gemara answers that. It says kedal achshavei. So Tosafot just says, I'll take the same logic of the Gemara and say the reverse. Yeah, so just have the second one. So why do you have to say the first one? Right, I mean, Tosafot is saying, why is Tosafot by the eye? He can't say a thing two times? Whatever. For whatever reason, Tosafot, maybe he held that it was like a shita, and you don't need to have two shitas if they're overlapping. Whatever it is. But Tosafot is saying, look, according to the Gemara, that's a kasha. That why is Rabbi Yochanan saying the same thing twice? If you could deduce one from the, if you deduce the second one from the first, so what do you need it? So the Gemara says, no, you can't deduce the second one from the first.
And
so Tosafot just says, So then flip it the other way. So right. Just have the second one.
Why doesn't the Gemara treat the first as first?
Right, exactly. It just happens to be. Okay, so those answers, I know. I would think that it's only by Hanacha. If you just had the case where you throw it into the guy's hand, I'd say it's only, your hand is only Kedal Dalad by Hanacha. Vis-a-vis Hanacha. But vis-a-vis Akira, I'd say it's not Kedal Dalad. And therefore, you need to teach me to say that, even though you have the case of the throwing in his hand, you have to say, Yad Hashem Chesed Kedal Dalad, means both vis-a-vis Akira and vis-a-vis Hanacha.
Right.
If you only have that second case, you say it's limited to that case, but you wouldn't know it's like a universal case. But Yad Hashem Kedal Dalad, you can't say it's only Akira Hanacha. It doesn't say anything about Akira Hanacha.
It's a bold move.
Those are just saying, why didn't the Gemara say that? Why didn't the Gemara say that? Because the Gemara knows. He already said Akira Hanacha. So he just wanted to explain why the Gemara didn't have that question. So the question, though, is that how does a hand define this Dalad al Dalad? Only vis-a-vis only one way. I mean, is hand dollar dollar? Is hand not dollar dollar? When it changes, whether you're putting it down or picking it up, how does that work? What's the logic to that? I mean, does the Torah recognize your hand as dollar dollar, like Rav is claiming? Or does it not? Or it goes by universal din makom? I mean, how do you split? How do you split the rishayos here? I'm sorry, the Akira and the Nacha. How do you do that? What's the sense of it? I think methodologically it's a good idea. That we had previously a number of times in the Gemara that the Gemara was bilchali between Akira and Hanacha. Okay, and the underlying, there was one underlying idea in that whole, all those approaches, I believe all of them, was that the Melechas Hotza'a is essentially not changing the location of an object, but uprooting the location of an object. And therefore Akira is really the primary idea of the Melacha. And you didn't need Hanacha, or Hanacha was enough on the culture, or something like that. And that was the frame, different details, So it would seem that your mind should first go there to see if you could work it out of a Yad,
right,
before you start concocting all another idea of why you should differentiate between Akira and Hanacha. I mean, that was based upon the Rishonim, and it worked well. I mean, why you don't have to make a whole new Svara if you could just apply, appropriately adjust the sword that you have to apply to this particular case. It's economics of an economization of ideas.
Right.